The Unpublished Podcast with Amy and James.
Hi, creatives. Today we are going to be talking about our favorite things of 2023.
And I don't want you to think this is just some kind of like go out and buy stuff episode, because we're going to try and be doing free stuff as well, but there will be a little bit of things we've bought in 2023 as well.
Yeah.
So apologies for that, but we did spend some money on some nice things.
We did. We had quite a big year, I guess, of spending because we moved countries. So we had to, all we bought over to the UK was like literally two suitcases. So we didn't have a lot of things.
Yeah.
So we do have a lot of like goodies, I guess, that we chose to invest in when we moved to England. And I feel like a lot of my favorite things are from that kind of haul.
I mean, let's face it, most of it's books.
We bought so many books.
We have a problem about buying books. We had to stop ourselves going into Oxford because Oxford has just so many good bookshops. And we were just going in there and just, I don't know, we were running out
our financials.
And also just like we didn't have the bag space to carry the books back out of Oxford. It was pretty bad.
It's been fun though.
It's been really fun.
Okay, James, give us the categories.
Okay, so what we're going to be talking about is, and just a note, nothing here is sponsored. There's one small thing where someone did send us something that we liked. Flag that before we talk about
it. Okay, great. Yeah.
Assume that everything else is not sponsored in any way.
Or we've gifted bought it all or
with
anything like
gifted.
That.
We've bought everything with our own money.
Yeah.
There's no incentive towards us sharing anything here. So the first category I wanted to talk about was free things.
Okay, great. What's your first free thing?
There are a few free things that I've loved to do this year, which I would recommend to other people. One of them is going for a walk.
Great one.
I have been completely obsessed with going for a walk this year. I know it sounds so stupid and simple, but I know it's cliche as well, but it sort of changed my life.
Yeah. I've seen it be transformative for you.
Probably in the last 5 months, I have started walking every day just for 40 minutes, usually in the morning. Absolutely incredible. I have had so many ideas on those walks. I'll listen to a podcast or an audiobook, and those podcasts and audiobooks are almost incidental. Like I often find myself turning them off and writing just ideas for half of the walk, which can kind of ruin the walk a little bit because you're just focusing on your phone. But it's felt amazing.
Yeah.
And on top of the ideas, I felt more energetic, healthier. I know those things could be attributed to almost anything else, but simply being outside more has made me feel more vibrant, more energetic, as I said, fitter.
Yeah.
It
was something that I feel like you really missed when we lost our baby boy Frodo, was getting outside each day.
I love dog walks.
Yeah.
I loved walking the dog. And yeah, that's right. For 2 years, I didn't have a dog walk every day. And I did miss it a lot.
Yeah.
Do you miss walking the
dog? I don't miss it at all.
Interesting.
Me and Frodo were just out there fucking hating on each other in those walks. He's such a pain in the ass to take for a walk.
You had a much more adversarial dog walking style than me.
Me and him just like glaring at each other.
He always wanted to go. I think, you know, he always wanted to go one way. You always wanted to go another way. I was just like, okay, bro.
You two had a... He respected you much more.
No, but I just let him do what he wanted to do more.
Yeah.
I let the walk play out.
That's a much healthier way.
I have a motto.
Look, to be honest, my relationship with my beautiful dog at the end was tense.
Well, he wasn't very well, was he? So.
No, but it was never that good, was it? We had a funny little relationship. We loved each other so much, but we fought so much.
I think when you buy a little girl, like, how old were you, 12, 13?
I was 13.
13-year-old girl, or boy, or whoever.
Yeah.
A dog.
A West Highland Terrier.
It's just...
I was Frodo's mama. Like, I taught him...
Nothing.
Nothing. And I was in charge of training him, and it was real a mess.
It was a mess, but he was so sweet.
I love him so much. I still love him so much.
Anyway, I have a lot of positive memories of walks. I've always found I had a bit of a depressive episode probably in, what would you say, like July?
Mm.
I've always walked my way out of depressive episodes.
You have. It's so beautiful.
There's a deep urge in me whenever I feel depressed just to walk.
To move.
For as long as possible. And it's usually just walking.
Mm.
Obviously, I like to exercise as well. But walking has...
I mean, Julia Cameron, she just talks about this so often, about how important it is. And I've heard my previous therapist talk about it too, like something about moving energy through the body allows for conflict and like negative emotions to move through so much easier.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, I also just think there's a lot of evidence nowadays that simply being out in nature... I remember listening to... I think today I was listening to Huberman, and he was saying...
Andrew Huberman.
And he was saying that and he's an eye researcher, and he was saying that being out in nature, because you are forced to widen your vision, something about widening your vision generally makes you more relaxed.
So interesting.
Once again, please don't quote me on this and look it up. Do your own research.
But, deal.
certainly being out in nature and walking has really helped me.
Yeah, beautiful. I didn't think of a free thing for me. But...
Oh, you're just a consumerist, Amo. Maybe you'll think of some later. I've got a few more that I can talk about.
Free things.
A few more free things.
God, you're so ethical.
I mean, the next one is very related. That's going for a run.
Yeah, that's true.
When we moved here, you know, we used to be big gym people. When we moved here, the nearest gym is quite far away. So we just bought a few dumbbells and did them in the backyard. And then I was going for runs. And you've been going for runs as well. And actually, even before we moved here, we started running probably in late December last year, early January. We were doing CrossFit before that, kind of got a little bit over it, decided that we'd rather do runs and more just long dedicated distance strength workouts rather than kind of mixing them up in CrossFit, mixing them together. So we've started doing more long distance running, which is great because as long as you've got shoes, or if you're in Amy's case, you can do it barefoot, which I don't know if I recommend, but certainly build
in
up
England,
to it.
It's better because you don't touch snake.
That's true.
But also the Brits really don't understand.
We started running around Narrabeen Lake in Sydney, which is near where we lived in Sydney. And that's basically wetlands, which is where snakes live. So literally on our runs.
Big snake time.
I think we would have seen a dozen snakes.
Yeah. And I touched one with my foot.
Yeah, over the course of a couple of months. Yeah. So Australia, maybe whatever. Wear shoes if you're running in Australia.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But then when I tried running barefoot here, I got stopped multiple times asking if it. I was like, I don't know, deranged. They were so worried.
And to be clear, I know there's a barefoot craze at the moment. Amy has just always been a barefoot person. Long before the craze. Amy didn't wear shoes to our wedding.
I didn't.
If she could, she wouldn't wear shoes anywhere.
I wouldn't.
She would choose actively to not wear shoes anywhere she goes. And she has these hard,
calloused
leathery bottoms of her feet.
I experience no pain. I experience no discomfort.
It's impressive.
It is. It's interesting. I am weirdly proud of them.
Built up over years. And they do say if you try and run bare feet without building up to it initially, it sucks.
And you can really hurt yourself.
You can really hurt yourself. Whereas Amy has built up for over her whole life.
Yeah.
The last thing, which is very related again, is getting morning sunlight. I mean, that's also a craze at the moment, but I've just been getting up. I've been making my coffee in the morning and going and standing. They do say you should be outside, not necessarily through a window, but I've just been looking towards the sun, not at the sun, and getting some light, which is apparently quite good for you. And I have found it to be lovely for my mood.
For your mood, it's been good. Yeah, do you think about much when you're just standing there looking at the sun, or do you just let yourself kind of wake up?
It's before I write, so I'll think a little bit about what I'm going to be writing and what projects I'm working on and let my brain start ticking it over a little bit. But yeah, it's really nice.
That is lovely. Well, I definitely will jump in with you on the running there. It's been so beautiful having a running coach. Shout out to Matt. Thanks, Matt. And just having someone to hold us a bit more accountable, and also running in this area where we are, it's an area of outstanding natural beauty. And I love it.
And to be clear, you don't have to have a running coach to run.
Oh,
After about 10 months of running, we were going
nowhere.
We suck at running. And we are really
bad. I really want you to understand. People are like, oh, do you really suck? No. No one ever understands how much I suck. And
runners
always
don't
understand. I'm sure you'll be fine. I'm like, shut up. I'm so slow. And I love it.
Anyway, we were slow and ploddy, and we thought we'll just hire someone. Essentially, a running coach is like a personal trainer who takes you through a few sessions where they look at your technique and see how you run.
Yeah, it's so like we've
been doing that for the last month or so. It's been really, really great.
Yeah, it's been so fun.
Running has become easier and faster.
Yes.
Which is not necessarily, I mean, the faster thing I don't really care about, but the easier thing is nice.
Lovely. So lovely.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other free things I do. I mean, obviously I journal every fucking year for many a year. This is my fifth year consecutively journaling. That is my number one free thing that I do.
I mean, I meditate, but I do use an app. I use the Waking Up app. I've tried as well the 10% Happier app, and I have tried the Headspace app. I find Waking Up the best of the three, but that's just my personal preference probably. I do really think you can just use free YouTube videos or you don't need an app.
But yeah.
I've meditated for maybe 7 or 8 years now. Really, really beneficial to my sleep and my mental health.
That's crazy. I'm so proud of you.
And, you know, when I had my depressive episode earlier
this year,
it was
because you weren't meditating.
I don't think it's because of, but a lot of these pillars fell out of place. I wasn't doing as much exercise. I wasn't walking. I wasn't
meditating.
I wasn't journaling as much.
Yeah.
And it's because my routine was broken out, because we had a lot of visitors and it was just and we just moved countries and things like that. So it was tough.
Makes a lot of sense.
But when I have those pillars in place, I find it's much better.
You have so many more pillars than me.
Do I?
Is that why I'm mentally less well than you?
Are you?
I don't know. Sometimes I think so, yes.
I think I could like very quickly and deeply fall into depression and then I come out of it like
much
a
quicker.
Month later or 2 or 3 weeks later and I'm like, I'm fine. What's wrong? Everything's great.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Let's move on to the next category.
Tech. And my first tech item, which is...
I want to have a go. You've had loads of goes.
Okay. Go for it.
My tech item, and I'm not naming any brands here because I don't really care for the brand, is my extra screens for
you
my laptop.
You probably don't know what brand, because I bought
them
all for you.
Fucking brands they are. I now have 3 screens. So I've got my laptop and then I've got 2 extra bigger screens.
Monitors,
excuse me. And I'm obsessed with them. They improve my workflow so much. I'm the sort of girly who has, you know, I think I literally have 25 Word documents open at any time. And James wants, I think he actually feels like anger at it.
I do.
I don't care. It's how I work. I want them all open because what if I suddenly need them? And like, I'm working on multiple books. There's different chapters. There's chapter outlines. There's ideas. There's my content. Like, I want them all there. So having 3 screens and like having everything be able to like, no, I mean, obviously everything can't be up on a screen, but I can have a lot more there visible to me. And it just really suits my brain being able to dip in and out of different like concepts quickly rather than having to go and find it. Like, it's honestly helped me so much, especially for editing my work, because I can have like my notes up, my document up, and then maybe ASMR or a TV show on.
I can respect the screens. I can't respect the 25 documents, 50 tabs, you know, Spotify's open. So is, for some reason, a YouTube video playing.
Everything is playing.
I can't respect it, but I can respect the screens. I can.
Okay.
And I recently adopted a second monitor as well, and it's been a laptop plus a monitor, and it's been awesome. I do really like it.
I would have the Terry Pratchett 6 screens if I could.
I know you could. I know you would. You could.
I could.
I know you would,
but you need them like specially designed so that they sit on top of one another, etc.
And we don't have the space. Maybe it's limiting belief.
Yeah. Okay, next.
Mine is, and once again, is this tech? I don't know. A coffee machine.
Oh, that's tech.
You may have heard my rant before about how the English don't get coffee. They don't get coffee in this country.
I've really had to try and pull him. Like, every time we meet a new English person, he goes straight in for this conversation.
I want them to know.
And I'm like, just be quiet. They have a different taste. It's a completely different drink here. James is like violent. I'm like, we're trying to make friends.
What annoys me is, Amy, I'm sorry to go on this rant again, to make a decent coffee, and I'm saying a decent, like a 6 or 7 out of 10 coffee, takes about 5 minutes of training and YouTube video.
But they're not trying to do what you want them to do.
And of course, I get it. If you are a 16-year-old with a job and you don't fucking care, like, all power to you. I understand why you don't want to go and train yourself up in making coffee. But people who, it's they're business owners who are relying on their coffee for money, and they've obviously got into coffee for a reason because they like it or something. And you watch them run an espresso shot and it's just this like, bleh.
They DJF.
And you go, oh my God, everything is wrong. You've tamped it wrong. You've done the grind wrong. Like, the temperature's probably wrong. And in the milk, they just burn the milk. I'm so sorry.
What do you like about our coffee machine?
I just, like, I can make a coffee for...
It's so cute as well.
A fifth the price that I could getting it out, and it's 3 times as good.
It's
and
so
I'm
cute.
Not even that good at making coffee. It's just that I can control it here. You know, I can adjust the grind, and I can... it's just, I can control which beans I use, etc.
Yeah, it's lovely. And it's a very, very cute, like, dark red maroon color. And I think it's really sweet.
It's, to be clear, like, I'm not as good at making coffee as a specialty coffee person.
No, you're not.
But I'm much better than a random English cafe.
It's a Breville. Which in England,
it's
called
Sage. Yeah. Mm. And I've got no attachment to the brand. It's just, I think I watched a few YouTube reviews and they're like, this is an easy one to use.
Yeah, and it has been really easy.
I think it's called the Barista Pro Plus or something.
Nice.
Barista Pro something. Yeah. That's fine.
Beautiful. Is that your only tech?
I've got the Steam Deck, but I don't know if I should really put it there. I haven't used it enough. It's pretty cool.
It is cool.
It's like a Switch, but you can play PC games on it.
Yeah, nice.
It's nice.
All right, next category.
Books for me.
Yeah, go for it.
Is this all in your head?
Yeah, I'm raw dogging it.
You're a genius.
I'm not.
So you always say that I have a better memory than you, but look at you,
James,
go.
I have no idea what I'm about to say.
once again, I've talked about it before on the podcast, but Nassim Nicholas Taleb's Inserto series... And as a coder there, I've been reading lately and I've almost finished Morgan Housel's Same as Ever, which is very similar in nature. They're all kind of dealing with cognitive biases and inability to predict things in humans. And I just highly recommend them for anyone who's interested in how, I mean, it's such a broad, there's almost no reason not to read them, I would say. That
it can interplay into any part of your life.
It is. It's a guide for how shit our brains can be and how good our brains can be at dealing with essentially randomness.
Why do you think it's good for artists?
Because I think as artists, we deal primarily in randomness and we deal in the spaces we deal in are all the gray areas. And these books are essentially about how humans both suck in the gray areas, but also can find little advantages in the gray areas too. It's like if you're not systematically thinking about how to make the gray areas work for you, you're almost certainly going down the wrong path.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like it. I feel like I've listened to a few podcasts on his work and I've had a lot of discussions with James, obviously, but I haven't read it, but I started reading them.
Yeah.
They're quite dense.
Anti-Fragile, which is, I think, a really good one for artists because it's about how you can not only learn to deal essentially with failure, but you can get better from failure.
Yeah, and I love that.
Yeah,
Anti-Fragile was really exciting to me, this idea that we can protect ourselves against randomness as artists.
Because the idea is that random negative things will definitely happen to you.
Mm.
And there's a great one in the Morgan Housel book where he's talking about how, because, you know, there are 7 billion humans, that means that every day, like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of million to one odds happen across the world. Mm. And some of them are going to be negative. So it's like, you're going to have to learn how to deal with these things, essentially.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you can adopt a strategy like Anti-Fragile suggests that essentially allows you to learn and grow from these experiences.
So good. It's so powerful.
You can't learn and grow from everything, and some things are going to be too
damaging.
Too damaging. But if you can learn to roll with the small things and roll with the small setbacks and even the medium-sized setbacks, then it's going to be really powerful.
It's B-Real.
No way. There's no way. No way you're B-reeling in the middle of this
podcast.
Would you put B-Real into your favorite things of 2023?
Honestly, I do really love B-Real.
I like it too, but people have stopped using it. Have you noticed this?
I don't really care. My whole family use it, which I really enjoy.
Essentially, only your family uses it.
I know. So literally, like my brother, my sister, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, like I get like a real family sense of it on this app. And for those who don't know what B-Real is, every day a timer goes off and it says it's time to be real, and you have to take a photo, and it takes a photo of what's in front of you and it takes a photo of you, and so you just get this snapshot from everyone's day.
I mean, I like it too, but unfortunately a lot of the friends who were back in Australia who I wanted to keep in touch with who were using it stopped using it. I'm like, what's the point of
you get that? McNeese which, left, right and center,
which is cool.
Look, everyone's doing something so fun today.
Amy, we're not talking get about this right phone. Now we are on a podcast. Please get off your phone immediately. Okay, cool.
So my book that immediately comes to mind, and I was like, really, like, I've read a lot of really great books this year, but the ones that really came to mind was I was so enchanted and taken by The Lord of the Rings, read by Andy Serkis, obviously written by Mr. Tolkien. I wasn't expecting to find so much delight in it. I was really worried that it was going to be too dense for me, despite me being like completely enchanted by The Hobbit and also by the films, but I fucking loved it. And it took me, you know, a fair amount of time to listen to those three books, but you know, like, I was enchanted and completely encapsulated, and it didn't bore me at all apart from the songs, which I just skipped.
I'm kind of jealous of you. I think I want to do it too.
You should totally do it.
I read The Lord of the Rings, rather my dad read The Lord of the Rings to me when I was, I think, between 10 and 11 years old, and it was awesome. Absolutely loved it. Great bonding experience too, obviously. Really grateful for him doing that.
Your dad's come up twice in 2 weeks.
I know.
Weeks.
And in many ways, I can credit that with me then becoming a lifelong reader. Because after that, I just didn't stop. After that, I wanted to do it myself. I started picking up books that probably were too advanced for me, not really understanding them, but still kind of developing that skill of reading. And all because I was delighted by Tolkien's world. I tried to listen to the audiobook when I was a bit older, and I really hated it. I thought it was boring. But now I realize it's because apparently there's a bad version. The other version that was done before Andy Serkis, apparently the reader's really boring. And so obviously I was just getting bored by this guy's voice.
Yeah, I mean, Andy does it perfectly, and for those who love the movie, he just does impressions of everyone in the movie, so you just feel like you're watching like an extended, slightly different version of the movie, and I just loved it.
Whereas my memory of the audiobook was essentially just someone monotonous, very slowly
it was great,
and being really bored. So I'm so grateful for you and for that.
Another standout, which really shocks me and honestly annoys me to confess, I didn't read this book because it was just, I was being a little bitch because it was just like everyone was reading it and I was like, oh, CBF. Lessons in Chemistry.
Oh.
Damn it. It was a really, really good book. The hype was totally worth it. I loved it so much. I thought it was an incredibly powerful book and it really moved me. She moved me. And also I loved that the dog had a POV and it was just a really profound experience for me. It was very feminist in a very good way.
The dog having a POV really, really interests me. I'm going to listen to it. I think I have it downloaded on my on Audible. I'm really interested.
I think it was fascinating for a writer's perspective as
and
well.
And it was her debut, wasn't it?
It was her fucking debut. And she's just a really strong, snappy writer.
Incredible. Has she brought something else out since then, do you think?
I don't know.
Interesting.
But they made that TV show. Like, I've never seen a TV show come out so quickly after a book.
Yeah, weird.
I don't know what happened.
They must have already...
I think someone had bought it before it came out.
I think they had
sold
the rights before it hit the shelf.
Unbelievable.
Which is crazy. Like, so cool. Crazy. I mean, it really does show you that when the machine gets behind a book, it can pump it out very well.
Yeah.
And the machine obviously did get behind that book very strongly.
I'm trying to think of non-fiction books that were really my favorite of 2023. I read a lot of non-fiction this year.
We, because of our secret project, we had to go back and reread. I think that's the thing. We've had to go back and reread.
Rereading a lot, yeah.
So much. Like, I have read barely any new nonfiction this year. I have reread probably 30 nonfiction books that I have read in the past.
Yes, same.
And, or at least gone through them and tried to extract references from them and stuff. And it's really been a reminding session.
I'm extremely excited about the book I'm currently reading, which is Your Brain on Art by Susan Magsalman and Ivy Ross, which is all about just the science behind the power of art, which just really delights and excites me.
I'm reading that too. We discovered this book like a week ago.
And yeah. I can't fucking believe it never came up into my, like how has that not come up into my sphere yet?
Do you want to describe it briefly?
I feel like I just did.
Okay, cool. Great.
It's a book about, it's the science behind why art is important, why art creates powerful and healthy people and communities.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's a really grounded, like, it's for the nerds. It's for the people who really want to go to the nitty-gritty.
Someone who's like, I'm suspicious that art is actually good for you.
Or that art is, someone who's saying that art is frivolous.
Yeah.
This is a complete refutation
really think,
of that.
Yeah, it's like a scientific refutation that art is just decoration for, like, this
if
world.
If you want to take the most cynical, utilitarian view of art, this book still proves that it's worthwhile.
Amen.
Even if you let go of all the magic, it's like, nope, it's still incredibly good for you.
Yes. Okay, next category.
I'm still doing books, actually.
Okay.
Can I just quickly say I read the Jade City series by Fonda Lee. I think that she didn't make it into my favorite modern authors podcast because I'd only just finished reading it, so I was waiting for it to sit a little bit. But this is an incredible series. It's for anyone who loves kung fu movies, anyone who loves fantasy. It's this epic kind of set in this city that's based on the Chinese diaspora. I think she says it's sort of like an amalgam of Hong Kong, Singapore, a few other Chinese diaspora communities. It's steeped in East Asian culture. It's very, you know, for people who are tired of fantasy from a Western perspective, absolutely incredible. Fonda Lee, Jade City, through to Jade Legacy. It's three books in the trilogy.
Amazing.
Just the action, the drama, the politics, it hits everything. Relationships, it's masterful. And it gets better as it goes.
Yeah, amazing.
Which is really, really cool. And of course, the last one was Lightbringer by Pierce Brown. Love this series. Love the whole Red Rising series. Fascinating book. I think the reason that this is the sixth book in the series, but why I'm so impressed by it is that Pierce is someone who seemed to write really easily for these first five books. Like, he was banging out a book a year. And then this one took him 4 years. And just the turmoil. I think he rewrote it all twice. So, like, from scratch.
I can't believe that.
And holy crap, was it worth it? Like, what an amazing book. It was incredible. You really see his growth as an author. The final thing I want to say about Pierce was, I think some people think he's a bit over the top, a bit melodramatic. But having also listened to The Iliad this year, after having not really touched it since uni, I really think that Pierce writes like
a classical author,
an ancient epic.
Wow.
It's like Homer will always use more words than is strictly necessary, you know? Like, the epitaphs of people, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. Incredible, you know? Everything, Homer will never waste a single moment of drama. Mm-hmm. Everything is a drama in The Iliad, and the same in the Red Rising series. Pierce Brown does not waste a single moment of drama.
I'm really sorry. I'm getting distracted because I'm looking through my Audible and it's all out of order. Like, where are all my books that I read this year? It's bullshit.
I've got one for you. Outlive by Peter Attia.
Oh my God. I loved Outlive.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was a really big book for me this year. It's Outlive by Dr. Peter Attia. It's all about how we can lead very long, healthy, mobile, mentally provocative lives. Like, we want to be in our, you know, late 90s. Even he speaks about being in his hundreds with an able body and an able mind, and how, what science is out there now, what methods are out there now that we can start implementing today so that we get to lead these really abundant lives. And that really interests me.
Yeah, I mean, his whole thing is about, rather than going for the cure, we go for the prevention.
Yeah, he calls it Med3. So it's looking at medicine's next evolution, which I feel sadly that we are very far away from. But this idea of preventative strategies about health rather than about curing disease.
Yeah, very cool. My next category is podcasts.
Lovely.
And obviously already mentioned Huberman Lab.
I mean, we were talking in the car the other day. We think Huberman Lab has the biggest net positive for the world. Like, it's so beautiful to see so many people from so many different, like, arenas of life listening to Andrew. And I think it's just, I think he's incredible. I think he creates extreme value, and it's very consumable, very understandable, often about really complex situations.
So basically what Huberman does is he's a neuroscientist and ophthalmologist, and who's a working scientist and ophthalmologist at Stanford. And he... even though he's not an expert on everything, he has a really good eye for, you know, he'll go out and read a whole bunch of academic papers, and he'll come back and he'll essentially summarize the scientific findings. So, you know, obviously he's never going to be able to cover everything. He's never going to be able to be 100% right about anything, because his expertise is narrow. I mean, that's just the way of science, but he does his absolute best to try and convey what the best science is about sleep, nutrition, supplementation, focus. I mean, the one that I really loved, and I was going to say another thing that kind of changed my life this year, was Huberman's episode on increasing your focus and tenacity.
That was my biggest podcast this year.
It was the best podcast I listened to. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so good. And it really just, for me, you know, I think so often, I know we did a whole podcast on this basically, but
did we?
We did about safely increasing your output was our episode, which was essentially inspired by this episode of Huberman.
Yeah.
And so often, doing more can seem like a hustly thing versus, I think the reframe that I got from this episode was that doing more doesn't have to exhaust you. Doing more can be something that you want to do for yourself and not because of external pressure. Doing more doesn't necessarily mean doing everything or doing stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I think I was holding myself back because hustle culture had destroyed my relationship to doing things for myself. It made me think that if I wrote 2,000 words a day, obviously I'm never writing 2,000 words a day at the moment, or maybe I'll build up to it one day, but if I wrote more than 500 words a day, which I had done for so long to protect my energy, and hustle culture had made me think that increasing that amount could only come from outward societal pressure, and I realized that I had an intrinsic pressure to do that for myself,
yeah,
and that there were ways that I could do that safely without exhausting myself.
I feel like such a big thing for us the past couple of years is like we had to heal a lot from, both of us had to heal a lot from our hustle narratives and this idea that productivity was linked to worth. But then something happened that I wasn't expecting to happen, which was when we got to a stage of really understanding that our worth came from beyond productivity, was we got a choice to create more on our own terms that wasn't being pushed by these external expectations. And I didn't realize that was going to be a part of this journey.
And then when you do it for yourself, it does feel a lot less icky. Like, it feels a lot less exhausting.
It's a choice.
Yeah. And I think a big thing this episode taught me was that a lot of your ability to restore your reserves of willpower, essentially, are based on your own intrinsic desire to do so. So if you believe you can, you essentially are much more likely to.
Yeah. It's amazing. We'll put it in the links. Everything obviously will be in the show notes, but it's going to be a big show note day for you.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do everything. I might do that podcast. I'm not going to put absolutely everything in the links.
That's not fair. We've told them.
It'll overwhelm them, won't it?
I don't know.
It would overwhelm me.
Okay. All right. So you do the notes, my boy.
The other podcast I wanted to mention was Writing Excuses, which is a really amazing resource for anyone trying to write a book of any kind. And it's often they focus a lot on the technical side of things. So, you know, plot, structure, character, etc. But what I wanted to highlight was they did a few episodes in the middle of the year about essentially the publishing industry and building your author platform. And they did it sort of from the perspective of mortals, essentially, not people who are wanting to post for hours and hours every day, etc. It was really for people who want to be writers, they want to be mainly writers, but they also feel like they maybe should have a social media presence, or they should have an author platform of some kind. And it was like, how can you do that in alignment? How can you do that in a way that's not going to take away from your writing?
Mm.
And these are all people who, everyone who hosts the podcast is a successful writer or in the industry in some ways, and they're not, you know, full-time social media people, but they have found ways to,
yeah, to make it work,
have a presence.
Yeah, I love that. My other one is going to be Beyond the Self with Africa Brooke. Africa is now a beautiful friend. I had the opportunity to have dinner with her this year. She is a font of incredible wisdom and speaks a lot about the creative process. She's just finished writing her book. But where she really centers her work is around the idea of self-censorship and how we can take up space without holding ourselves back, censoring our words, particularly on the internet, which is something that all artists need to be incredibly engaged in. And I'm really excited for her book to come out next year. But yeah, her podcast is beautiful. She has the most calming presence. And it's one of those podcasts that you can just pop on while you're cleaning or something, and you'll just, your central nervous system, your autonomic nervous system will thank you.
Agreed. I've really enjoyed Africa's podcast too this year.
Mm.
She does have an incredible voice and way of speaking. So soothing. Amazing.
So soothing.
I am done with podcasts now.
Okay, next.
And I'm going to move on to TV and movies, which I only have one item for, because I just don't feel like basically we watched The Office.
That's
like
not true.
12 times through this year.
I mean, that is true. But we also did other stuff. What's your thing?
I just have Blue Eye Samurai.
I was going to say Blue Eye Samurai too. It's really good. I loved it. Yeah. I loved it. It's an anime series. That it
on
was
Netflix.
Just on Netflix. It was so, the storytelling was so provocative. I was so invested. It was stunning. Like, the animation was stunning. Do you want to give a little synopsis?
Yeah, it's set in Shogunate Japan, I think in the
1600s.
The island is closed off to white people. The main character is half Japanese, half white. And they are on a revenge mission, essentially, to kill the four white people who are currently living in Japan. But it's sort of a beautiful, it sounds like it's just going to be this bloodthirsty revenge story, but then they do really amazing things with character. They do really amazing things with race and gender. It's just really cool.
Honestly, like, they just have the most interesting discussions within this incredibly stunning, like, experience. And yeah, you're right. I think it's a character-driven series, which is what I always look for.
Yes.
Like, the character arcs were stunning.
But also, if you like fights, there's also some great
fights. There's also cool fights, yeah.
But there's both.
I was also going to say, and I know I'm very late to the game, but everything... Oh, I always get it wrong.
Everything, Everywhere, All at
everything,
Once.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. For some reason, I had missed that when it first came out, and we watched it probably only a few months ago, and I was really enchanted. Like, I was just like... Well, it was one of those... I was moved.
Yeah.
And when I finished it, I was like, fuck me, I love art. And I would love to create something to that scale one day. Like, it was just so beautiful. You could feel the collaboration. You could feel the synergy. Like, I just thought it was stunning.
I mean, it has multiple amazing stories behind it as well. Down to, you know, people, I think they had such a small budget and they really had to teach themselves how to do VFX, and the VFX are amazing. And, you know, actors who had been passed over their whole life finally getting the recognition that they deserve, etc.
Stunning.
It's really, really, really great.
Yeah. So they were my two.
And like, did we really watch much? I mean, obviously we watched a lot of TV, but a lot of it was just
self-soothing. When we first arrived in the UK, I went on like a no, we're not watching anything new for a bit. I think it was probably just me trying to stabilize myself in a new environment. I didn't want to invest in anything new particularly. And soz, but that's how I am.
We have been watching the new Doctor Who season, though.
Oh, we have.
Wow.
Honestly, I've loved it so much.
Or just that it was the three anniversary episodes they're doing, where David Tennant and Catherine Tate are back.
Like, both of us are huge Doctor Who nerds. Apologies. I mean, no shame.
One of the very first flirting incidences between Amy and I was over the Weeping Angels episode.
Was it really?
Yeah, of Doctor Who.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember it?
No.
I had posted on Facebook that I was watching Doctor Who, and you came in and you were like, oh, really?
Oh,
I'm watching Doctor Who too.
I've always loved Doctor Who. It's always been like a staple in our family, and I watch it when I create. I always have it on as I write because I've seen it a million times and it can just be in the background. And David Tennant is my favorite Doctor. It's very hard to say that, but he is. But I really also love Matt Smith. And you know what? I'm a big Peter Capaldi fan too.
Jodie was good, but I thought the writing around Jodie just really
Jodie was seriously let down. Like, I feel so sad for her because I could not put myself through that, any of her series. It's so sad.
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, now we're back and David Tennant is obviously resumed his role for three episodes.
Very excited to see what Shooty does.
I'm so excited to see what Shooty does. I think we see
Shooty's first episode after Christmas.
Yeah.
Which will be cool.
Anyway, absolutely loved it.
Yes.
Okay, yes. Cool. Next category?
YouTube.
Ooh, great. Okay, so me and James have a new favorite YouTuber.
Do you remember his name? I do.
Caleb?
Caleb Hammer.
Hammer.
And he does financial audits.
Okay, so like James was like, I can't stop watching financial audits. And I was like, holy fuck, you've broken. We've had a lot of issues with our tax this year. It's been a fucking nightmare. And now I'm like, James is now on YouTube and all he's doing is he's watching financial audits and like he's broken. Like our tax situation has snapped him. Anyway, then I started watching and I couldn't stop.
Incredible. I think for you, and I don't know if this is getting too personal for you, I think we've talked about it before, but you had a lot of problems with credit cards back in the day.
Since when has anything been too personal?
I know. Not heaps, but you know, I think you had, would have been 10,000 Australian dollars.
It was 10,000 Australian which dollars is, in debt.
When you but are a 25-year-old with, sorry, what was the problem?
The problem was is that I had no plan of paying it back.
Yeah, which is what, in these financial audits, you were basically these people, but not as bad.
I was pretty bad.
I mean, these people are coming onto the show and they have $100,000 of credit card debt. They've got student loans. They've got multiple car payments.
Yeah,
in that way I
was, nowhere near as bad.
Nowhere near as bad.
But anyway, Caleb then sits down with the person who has volunteered to go on the show and you just go through their finances. And it is just so voyeuristic and so fascinating. And Caleb is sassy, but I also believe he is very kind. And we go through all of that. And then at the end, he budgets and tries to get them out of huge amounts of debt. And honestly, I could watch it for hours and hours and hours. And also, it's been a real awakening for us. And I feel like the last few months for us have been a huge financial awakening. We've really, I feel like, chosen to mature a bit in terms of just like our finances and like take a lot more control. Because I have spent my entire life sticking my head in the sand. And this show's really helped me want to be in control of my finances.
I think, you know, because up until 27, 28, we made a lot less money than all our friends.
Mm.
And we couldn't do the things that we wanted to do necessarily. And I felt like we always felt like we weren't real adults because we weren't making as much money as our friends. And so now that we've been making more money than we were before, we've kept our same attitudes that, you know, money is shameful or that we shouldn't, we're sort of only just hanging on, that we shouldn't be taking control of our money. Whereas now I think what this show has inspired us to do is to go, no, well, we need to actually get real about our money. We need to start treating our money, taking our money seriously. We need to start setting ourselves up for the future. We need to start being more responsible.
Yeah.
We need to start being organized, essentially, and making money our bitch.
Yeah, making money our bitch. And so for the last like month and a bit, I've been in charge of our finances, which has also been huge. Although, do you disagree? I mean, I haven't been good bookkeeping, but I've been in charge of like all our money flow.
Yeah, because for years, Amy was so scared of looking at her bank account from her time when she was struggling financially that she was like, I can't look at it, James. Like, can you just look at my bank account? And can you just look at the bank account and tell me? She would text me and say, do we have enough money for this? Do I have enough money to do this, etc. She would just text me and I would check for her and I would tell her yes or no.
Yeah. And like, I really, you know, I don't want to be too hard on myself. Like, although like I have been hard on myself, like it was a pattern that I'm very grateful to be breaking now because it's been a long time and I'm 31 and I should have broken this. I mean, I shouldn't say I should have, but I feel a bit of shame about it because I really think it was time to really wake up to this. And I know like I really fucked it before and I had a lot of debt, but you know, this is money that I'm making. It's my money. I'm responsible. Like, I feel like I'm going Caleb on my ass. Like, come on. Like, let's take charge. Let's be in control. Like, let's have a beautiful, abundantly financial life.
I think that's a thing about financial audit YouTube is that at first he's just being brutal to them. And then the last half of the video is him being like, okay, well, I'm going to help you get out of this.
Yeah.
And here's exactly what your budget's going to be. This is how you're going to get out of it. And then in X amount of time, you're going to be free, basically.
Yeah, and get to enjoy your life a lot more.
Can I just say, I'm so glad I don't have American student loans.
Oh my God.
Holy crap.
It's unbelievable.
And this is another reason, like, I'm even stronger now on whenever someone asks me, should I do an MFA? Absolutely not.
Absolutely
like,
fuck holy, no.
Unless for some reason you just have the cash lying around. Even then I would be like, maybe use it on something else. But holy crap. It is just, I mean, Australia, uni's gotten more expensive in the last 10 years. Since we've been there, it was still quite very cheap and affordable when we went to uni. Mm. And we have HECS. So you only pay back your uni debt once you're earning a certain amount of money, it just comes straight out of your paycheck. It's just in America. Holy shit. I know that 60%+ of you are Americans. I'm sorry, I don't want you to feel bad. And obviously, it's not your fault, but wow.
Yeah, huge. And it's a big responsibility.
Yeah.
Fuck, I know. It's crazy. I'm so, so grateful.
Yeah.
Other YouTubers, obviously, I've literally never met anyone in my life who likes ASMR. So when I talk about it, I'm like, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I really love ASMR. Like, it's soothes my nervous system in crazy ways. Excuse me, one second. Okay. I need it. I love it. My favorite ASMR artist this year has been Be Brave, Be You. Her name is Nicola. She's got this lovely Northern English accent. And she does like role plays. It's my weirdest trait. ASMR is so weird. I could watch it for hours and hours. She does role plays of like, you're at the nurse's office and she's just like checking on you. I mean, what the fuck? But I could honestly, it soothes me like nothing else soothes me. Just this like very gentle talking and personal attention. I just love it.
Yeah, I'm incredibly impressed by the art form of it. I mean, some people, you'll have to remind me of their names, but who's the lady who does those really elaborate sets?
Oh my God, Moonlight ASMR.
Oh my God, like she is a professional set designer, right?
Yeah, she used to be. Now she does ASMR full time. Art form. No, because that's one of the most incredible pieces of art I've seen this year.
Yeah.
Is Moonlight ASMR. She did a sci-fi. Is there essentially film? Like she does like films. And it was the most incredible thing I've seen. And honestly, I Patreon her. I want to support the crap out of that woman because I just am in awe of it as an art form. The detail.
Insane. Although the one thing I hate about it is that Amy uses my YouTube premium account. So my algorithm is completely fucked up by just ASMR videos everywhere.
Whoopsies.
Hey. I mean, luckily they kind of segment them. So like if you scroll past them, you kind of get through them, but still. And that's all I have for YouTube.
Same.
I wanted to talk about some clothes.
Lovely.
I know that clothes are not something that you particularly care about.
Me personally?
Yeah.
That's not true.
I know, but so my philosophy around clothes is usually buy a few expensive things and wear the shit out of them.
I haven't learned to turn my money dial up for clothes, so it's very stressful for me to buy expensive clothes.
Yeah,
I'm also inherently very messy and I get grotty.
Yeah,
I spill things.
Yeah,
and so it would stress me out to invest.
Yes, but as a result, like I feel like you don't get excited about anything you own, so therefore. I mean, it's tricky. I understand where you're coming from, for sure.
Mm.
But I really like to, a couple of times a year, I will buy like a nice thing.
And what are your nice things from this year?
I bought one really nice jacket I needed a jacket for...
Winter here.
So I bought there's this amazing company in the UK called Painter, Payenter. They do limited run. I think it's only 750 jackets per run. They only release a jacket 4 times a year. Sells out in about 5 minutes. You get in, get the jacket. So I got this, it's recycled wool and cashmere. So it's really environmentally friendly. It's made in Portugal, hand sewn, and then it's taken back to the UK. It's really expensive. It was like £250 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, super worth it. The idea is that these are jackets that you will essentially wear the rest of your life.
I love that.
And it's like they're all numbered.
Yeah, they're so very sweet.
You know where you are.
You feel like you're investing in artists.
They show you the whole process. Like every week, once you order, they send you a video of what's happening to the jackets. And it's a really, really cool company. It's a sort of amazing company where they could scale up and make millions and millions of dollars because they sell it in 5 minutes every time they release a jacket.
Of course, yeah. But they choose
to keep it to the same size. Form.
Yeah. So my big one for this year, and this is the one we have to say we were gifted, is Urban Creative, who gifted me some clothes and then we invested in them. Like we went and bought more.
Yeah.
Incredible and run by artists, made by artists, and it's you probably will have seen me in it. It's all my clothes that say create on it. Unbelievable quality clothes, and it has the word create on it.
I'm struck by the quality of them. I think if they weren't great quality, I wouldn't have.
No, same.
I love the design, but if a t-shirt doesn't feel good on me, I won't wear it.
No, same.
Same with the jumper pants. I just won't wear it unless it feels really nice.
So Mike, who is the designer and the owner, he's amazing. Again, he's an incredible musician and rapper, like really cool dude. He went all around the world trying to find the right, you know, resources for this and the right materials, and he really invested his time into making sure the quality was really good. Again, they do small runs, and you know, incredibly exciting thing to invest in my opinion, and also like just so cool. It's for artists, it's made for artists to own the fact that you are an artist, and I think that's incredible.
Yeah, and to be clear, Mike sent us this stuff with
no expectations. Yeah.
And then, as Amy said, we loved it so much that we went out and bought a bunch more for ourselves.
Yeah.
It is super good.
Yeah, Urban Creative. Honestly, you just cannot recommend more. Like, it is for us. I just love, like, who's making clothes for artists? What a cool thing to do.
And my favorite run, he has the create run, and then he has the small steps.
Small steps.
I love small steps.
Yeah, just small steps baby. Cool. Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, really great. Can recommend more.
I bought some jewelry this year. Not gifted, bought it myself from Neck on the Line, which is a Bristol jewelry company. So, like, what direction is that? West? East?
West
England.
Mm-hmm. Southwest.
Really cool area, like where a lot of artists are living at the moment in Bristol. Really love them. I wear it all the time. Doesn't tarnish. Really classy gold jewelry.
Yeah. It looks good.
Thank you.
Great. My last one is I joined the Awesome Socks Club.
Oh, you've been doing the Awesome Socks Club forever?
No, just since the start of the year.
Oh.
Yeah, I think since April.
I feel like I've been getting socks delivered to the door forever.
Constantly losing socks, and I'm obsessed. I am in love with the Green Brothers, John and Hank, and everything they do. You know, they are such amazing people. They have multiple businesses that all run completely for charity, so any profit goes to charity. And one of the things they do is a sock subscription, because I'm always losing socks. So every month I get sent a new pair of socks. They're designed by an independent artist. They're always zany and cool. It's, you know, not super expensive. Everything, all profits go to charity. It's just cool. I need socks, and it's cool for my money to be going to charity a little bit.
Yeah, amazing. I love that.
It's just a great...
And Hank and John, they do such important work.
Yeah, yeah. I love them so much. If you're not fucking following Vlogbrothers on YouTube, what are you doing?
Amen.
What are you doing?
Two people I would have to my imaginary dinner immediately.
Both, yes. They would take up spot one and two out of the five.
Amen.
Love them.
Is that our last category?
Yeah, I mean, I had a few things that people might not be interested in, like my weightlifting shoes and my running shoes.
That's cute.
But... who cares?
I mean, you care.
I'm really enjoying my Nike Romello 4 weightlifting shoes. They're just so good. That's for, you know, if you're someone who likes to squat at the gym and you have... Yes, Amo?
I just thought of another thing I forgot.
Do you want to say it right now?
No, go.
So if you're someone who likes to squat at the gym, doing any kind of Olympic lifting or anything, a little lift in your heel through a weightlifting shoe with a solid base will make things so much easier. So much easier. The movement will feel better. They're often quite expensive, so by no means do I feel like you have to buy one of these if you want to do those things.
They make movement so much easier.
It just makes the squat go from a grind to something that feels
so
lovely.
So much lower, yeah.
Yeah.
The thing I forgot was my keyboard. That has been one of the biggest additions to my creative process this year. I've got a dust silver keyboard. It's a mechanical keyboard, but it came pre-made. So oftentimes with mechanical keyboards, you buy them and you make them. But it was pre-made. It is the most creamy sounding thing, and it makes writing for fucking someone said that I look like I'm playing the piano when I write.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that. It feels like playing an instrument because it just sounds so delicious. That's been one of my favorite things I've done this year, is invest in that.
It's so funny. Amy and I have this huge fight every time I have to work on a computer because
he hates it.
I have to move the keyboard out of the way, and I'm like, how can you use this thing?
He hates
Obviously,
it.
Obviously, it's not a huge fight, but I have a small snide remark every time I have to use a computer.
I don't understand. It is the most beautiful thing to use. What
I must
do you not like
move
about
my
it?
Fingers. They must stay really close to the keyboard, so I must not like having to
you
lift
just have
up
to
my
change
finger.
You just have to change it a tiny bit.
I don't want to. I refuse.
All right.
And that's everything. That's the list.
That's the beautiful list.
Was that the most boring episode ever of our podcast?
You know, our last one, our favorite things, it does really well, doesn't
I think it?
It
did do quite well. Yeah. But
who knows?
We'll see.
Thank you for being with us, guys. This is by no means the last episode of this year, but I feel like we're in a wrapping up kind of...
Yeah. I guess we'll try and keep going.
Yeah, we'll keep going. We'll keep going. We'll do.
I think we've got some ideas still.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
All right.
Great. Thanks for joining us.
Love you guys. Bye.
Love you. Bye.